You know those people? They're not especially charming. They're not the life of the party. They're not doing anything you can point to and copy. And yet somehow, at 40, they have 4 or 5 people they could call at midnight and who would actually pick up. You look at them and you think, what do they know that I don't? Because you've tried. You've made an effort. You've been warm. You've shown up to things. And still, at the end of the week, the people in your phone feel more like names than like yours. So what is it? Is it luck? Is it personality? Did they all just happen to grow up on the right street, next door to the right kids? Here's the thing. Researchers who study how human beings actually form bonds, who track this across years and real lives, not just surveys, they keep finding the same 2 answers. And both answers are so plain, so unromantic, that the first reaction most people have is, that can't be it. So that's where we're starting today. Not with some magic formula for being more likable, with 2 boring ingredients that, it turns out, do most of the real work. Meet Tyler. He's 20. He moved to a new city for school, and he has spent most of his first year believing he's just bad at this. He goes out sometimes. He's tried being friendly. He just never seems to get anywhere past the surface. Other people seem to do it without trying. He figures it must be some quality he's missing, some gene for easy warmth he didn't get. But here's what Tyler doesn't know. When researchers look at what actually predicted whether 2 strangers became friends, not what people believed made them friends, but what the data showed, it wasn't charm. It wasn't having the right personality. It wasn't even how interesting the conversations were at first. What predicted friendship, over and over, was 2 things that had nothing to do with who Tyler is as a person. The first is how often he ended up near the same people without planning it. The second is whether they happened to work on something together. 2 ingredients. Both boring. Both completely outside what Tyler thought the problem was. Here's the first ingredient, and it's almost embarrassing how plain it is. Being physically near the same people on a regular basis without having planned it. Not a scheduled coffee. Not a performance of friendliness. Just being in the same space again and again until the faces become familiar. Researchers have found, across many studies, in many settings, that simply seeing someone's face over and over makes us like them more. Not because we've said anything brilliant, not because there's great chemistry, but because familiarity itself does something quiet to us. We move toward what we already know. We trust what we've seen before. It's not rational, exactly. It's older than rational. It's how we are. They track this in dormitories, in classrooms, at work, in neighborhoods. The people who ended up as friends were not always the most interesting people in the room. They were often just the ones whose faces you kept bumping into on the way to the kitchen, the ones whose parking spots were near yours, the ones who sat at the edge of the same corner every morning. Not planned, just near. And repeated. That repetition, all by itself, does more to build warmth between 2 people than most of us would ever guess. The second ingredient is just as plain, and it's actually more powerful. Working on something together, facing the same task, the same problem, the same pile of seats to stack after the meeting, the same project that has to be done by Thursday. What researchers found, over and over, is that when 2 people are on the same side of a task, not competing, not just talking, but actually doing something shoulder to shoulder, the connection that forms is faster and stronger than almost anything else they measured. There's a reason people who go through hard things together come out bonded. It's not just the hard thing, it's the together. Something about working side by side with a shared problem in front of you skips the careful social layer we usually keep up with strangers. You're not performing for each other, you're both just focused on the thing. And in that space, without any of the usual effort, something real gets built. Think about the people you trust most. At least a few of them, maybe most of them, came from somewhere you were both doing something. A team, a project, a hard week at work, a thing you built or fixed or survived together. Not a dinner party where you performed well. A thing you were in. Now here's the part that matters if you're an adult trying to figure out why this feels so hard. Those two ingredients used to come for free. You didn't have to find them or build them on purpose. They just happened. At school, you were near the same 30 people all day, every day, for years. You worked on things together, all the time. The group project, the team, the shared lunch spot where everyone was just in the same small space, day after day. You didn't have to plan any of it. The place did the work for you. But adulthood quietly strips both of those things away. You move into your own space, you drive to your own job, you work in your own lane, and then you come home and close the door. You might go weeks without seeing the same face twice, without standing shoulder to shoulder with anyone on a shared problem that isn't a work task you'd rather not be doing. And then you notice that your circle is thinner than it used to be, and you wonder what you're doing wrong, what quality you're missing, why it worked at 20 and not at 35. You're not doing anything wrong. The place stops supplying the ingredients. That's all. That's the whole story. And the reason that matters is this. If it was the place doing the work, then all you have to do is find a new place that does the work again. Now let me take the pushback seriously, because it's the natural one. Can't I just reach out more? Can't I text people, set up coffees, make more of an effort? If proximity is the answer, why can't I engineer that myself through planning? One coffee at a time, one dinner at a time. It's a fair push, and I don't want to dismiss it. Yes, planning helps. A coffee is better than no coffee. But here's what the research keeps showing. One-off planned social events, where you're both on your best behavior, talking about the nice things, performing a little. Those don't tend to build the same thing as repeated, unplanned contact. The bond that forms when you're both just showing up to the same Tuesday thing, week after week, without any real effort or performance. That's a different quality of connection than the one that comes from a carefully arranged dinner where you talked well and had a nice time. One feels earned, the other just happens to you. And the just happens to you kind is what the research points at as the real foundation. So planned coffee is fine. But if it's the only move you're making, you're working harder than you need to and getting less than you could. The goal is to find a place where proximity and shared effort happen without you having to make them every single time. Back to Tyler. By month two, he had tried the one-off approach. He'd gone to events. He'd had a few good conversations. Nothing stuck. Then, almost by accident, he joined one thing, a weekly study group that met every Tuesday in the same room. He didn't join it to make friends. He joined it because he needed help with one class. But something happened. By week six, he could name everyone in the room. By week 10, a few of them were texting him about other things. By month three, he had a small handful of people who felt like his. He hadn't done anything different in terms of personality. He hadn't become more charming. He had just put himself in a room where the same people showed up every week to work on the same thing, and the two ingredients had done exactly what researchers say they do. He didn't engineer any of it past that first choice. The room did the work. And here's the part worth sitting with. Tyler would have told you in month one that his problem was who he was. But the problem was never who he was. It was where he was, and more specifically, where he wasn't. He wasn't in a room that supplied the recipe. Here's the turn I want you to make inside yourself, because this whole episode is pointing at one quiet shift. You have probably spent real time, maybe years, running an internal case against yourself. I'm bad at keeping in touch. I'm too introverted. I left it too long. I don't know how to make new friends at this age, and maybe some of that is true in small ways. But let me ask you to look at it from the other angle for just a second. If the two things that actually predict friendship, being near the same people repeatedly, working on something together, are both things about place and structure, not about personality, then the narrative that this is a character flaw doesn't hold. You're not failing at some hidden social skill. You are, most likely, living in a structure that is not supplying the two ingredients. That's not the real problem. That's a fact about a shape, and shapes can be changed. The fix is not to become someone different. The fix is to find one room, or build one, where the same people gather every week to do something together. That's it. You don't have to be more charming, more open, more anything. You just have to be in the right room. So here's your one thing this week, and I want to frame it as what it really is, a gift, not a self-improvement project, not a test to grade yourself on. A gift you give to the people who would end up in that room with you, including the future version of yourself who has that small handful of people. Here's the thing you're going to give this week. Find one room. It doesn't have to be perfect, a running group that goes out every Saturday morning, a community garden plot that works on Sundays, a Skillshare thing at the library, a standing pickup game at the park, a weekly volunteer shift, somewhere you actually want to be. One thing. Two rules only. The same people tend to show up, and there's something to do together, even if it's small, even if it's low-key. You are not looking for the perfect place. You are not looking for interesting people. You are looking for a room with a Tuesday, a day that repeats, people that repeat, something to do side by side. That's the whole recipe. Show up. Keep showing up. Let the two boring ingredients do what they've always done. So that's the recipe, and it really is that plain. The people with full circles mostly aren't more magnetic than you. They're sitting in more proximity and more shared effort, by luck, or by one early choice that put them in a room with the Tuesday. You don't need to become someone different. You need to find a room. And if you don't have a room yet, you can build one, which is what the next episode is about, the small handful. What the research says it takes to move a familiar face from someone I know all the way to one of the two or three people who'd come for me at 3 in the morning. It runs on different fuel, and it's worth knowing what that fuel is. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.